everybody. Welcome to the Back to the Vandal Scoreboard, the first episode of the new semester. I'm your host, Mark Warren.
And I'm your other host, James Torman Aldridge.
It has been about a month and a half, I think, since we last recorded an episode. We are going to spend a little bit of today talking about football, new signees, some off-season stuff. We're going to spend a good chunk of today talking about men and women's basketball. Last time we recorded, I think it was like the first week of games.
Yeah, very little had happened. Neither team was doing too hot. Still neither team is doing too hot. But men are on a little run here. Women are in a little bit of a slump. Really, the most exciting things that we've seen, other than the Montana State home game for men's earlier this week, what is the football signings. A lot of great things happening there. So a lot of fun stuff coming up on the show today.
Yeah, before we get into that, though, James, how was your break? It's been like a month and a half, I think.
Yeah, it was good. I did not a lot of Argonaut stuff. I did just enough to keep myself sane during the break. Live tweeted a little bit, put an article up when I got back. So it was restful. I got to see my cats. That's really the only reason I go home for breaks. Mom, if you hear this, you didn't hear that. But it was good. How was your break, Mark?
It was good. It was very restful. That last month of school was stressful for everyone, especially like all of us in student media. So it was nice to just kind of get a little bit of time away from Moscow, a little bit of time away from everything.
Yeah, it was very, you know, it was a stressful month, as you said. Getting back home, you know, you couldn't really escape what was going on because everybody and their dog was covering daily just anything they could get their hands on. So it was definitely still kind of a mm-hmm. rough time being back home.
Oh, yeah, my Twitter was full of talking about it.
Yeah, you know, I was 10 hours away, and I had a lady at a coffee shop ask me about stuff she had seen on Reddit. I was mm-hmm. like, what the heck? But, you know, it's nice to be back and kind of see campus revived after that break.
Yeah, no, I get bored if I'm home without much to do for too long. So mm-hmm. I was definitely ready to come back and get back into the swing of things here at QE, here over at the Argonaut. Looking at some stuff that happened over break, football signing day, some big transfers.
Yeah, 39 signees for football. The first one was actually announced a day before early signing day. Malachi Railton Stewart out of Australia, you know, and during the press conference with Coach Eck about the signings, he was asked, you know, how did we find this guy? You know, coming all the way from Brisbane, Australia, 6'5", 260-pound defensive lineman, you know, something Idaho really, really could have used during this last season, getting some quarterback pressure. But he actually came with a group of other people, I believe, is what it sounded like, and just traveled around the United States going to football camps and ended up coming to Idaho. So he's going to be a huge addition as a freshman on the defensive line. On the other side of the ball, this was a lot of people's, you know, favorite signing. When Coach Eck came on, he said he was going to recruit Idaho, and he did just that. Quite a few recruits from in-state, specifically offensive lineman, 6'5", 260-pound freshman, Alex Green, out of Coeur d'Alene. Coeur d'Alene wasn't a great team this season, finished 2-7 overall, but Alex Green allowed just 2 sacks all season. Also stepped in as a backup place kicker. So, you know, it's going to be a big addition there on the offensive line for Idaho.
Yeah, I mean, that Vandals defensive line front seven is losing Favai Favai and Leo Tamba, two players that made a lot of big plays this year. And so it'll be nice to kind of have some younger players come in and fill that gap. The Idaho offensive line wasn't too bad. They switched some players around at the start of the season, but they played pretty well.
Yeah, it was, you know, for those first few weeks there, Coach Eck had mentioned after a lot of false starts there on the offensive line, switched the right guard or right tackle and center, around and only had a few more false starts throughout the season. So, you know, the offensive line was good, but adding Alex Green and a few other big guys there on the line is going to be huge to make sure Javonte McCoy is able to stay on his feet.
Jerry Rice Award winner, Javonte McCoy.
True. You know, that was another big thing for Idaho this season. Had a great year. You know, McCoy was announced as one of the finalists. And, you know, pretty much right as we went to break, was announced as the Jerry Rice Award winner. So huge for Idaho there, winning the award for best freshman in FCS football. So congratulations, Javonte McCoy. Another big thing for Idaho, you know, they lost C.J. Jordan to the transfer portal, backup quarterback there, losing Zach Borish, third, fourth-string wide receiver. Two players that people might have been, you know, worried about, Hayden Hatton and holy crap, I'm blanking on
Jermaine Jackson. How can you forget about Jermaine?
I've been really bad with names for the last week or so. But yeah, you know, a lot of people saw Hayden Hatton and Jermaine Jackson have a great season and they decided to stick around. So Idaho is the only team in FCS football returning two 1,000 plus yard receivers for next year.
I also saw the four-string running back. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Andre Carter.
Yeah. Andre Carter. He entered the transfer portal. He made that big run against Portland State. Was it at the end of the game?
I think it was Portland State. You know, he's a big body. Mm-hmm. Almost ran me over. But yeah, you know, and you kind of expect Andre Carter to transfer.
I mean, yeah, that running back room is loaded.
Roshan Johnson, you know, some may, including myself, may have thought that he was out of eligibility. Turns out he has 1 year left.
Oh, really?
As a grad transfer. I just saw this on Twitter a week or so ago. So entered the transfer portal as a grad transfer along with one other player. I don't remember who it was. So, running back room, losing big man, Roshan Johnson. But
we got two more, I believe.
Three more running backs, if I'm correct.
Coach Ford's going to have a field day with that one.
Yeah, Coach Ford has done something special. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no pun intended, as he's also the special teams coordinator. But getting Deshaun Buchanan, let me look through the list here. Art Williams, I think he's kind of one of the bigger ones that we were able to get. Oh, it might have only been two. I thought there were three.
I'm pretty sure what you sent me was we got two. I remember you tweeted out something about these running backs.
Oh, and Carlos Matheny.
Yeah, these running backs having that dog in them.
Yeah.
And I think Coach Ford agreed with you on that one.
Yeah, three big guys there. Let me look at this. Carlos Matheny, I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's one of those two. 5'11", 205, so kind of a bigger body, a little shorter. Deshaun Buchanan is 5'11", 190, so it's smaller, going to have to hit the weight room a little bit there. And Art Williams is 6', 205 out of Meridian. So another in-state player that the Vandals went out and got. An out-of-state player that the Vandals also went out and got. You know, we have seen nepotism in Vandal football before.
I wanted to talk about this guy.
You know, when that other guy that we had at one point in time stuck around for about 10 years. You know, his son played quarterback here for some reason. No nepotism here, in my opinion. Just went out and got a dog in Jaxton Eck, Coach Eck's son, 6', 215-pound linebacker out of Brookings, South Dakota. You know, losing Favai Favai, losing Nate DeGraw, losing why am I so bad with names today, Mark? Leo Tamba.
We've worked with him. How could you forget his name?
I said it's been one of those weeks. But, you know, an absolute dog in the backfield, listed as one of the top 50 players out of South Dakota.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some film on him, and he is a pretty darn good player.
Yeah, it is going to be a great year for the Idaho defense, especially, in my opinion, with these three defensive transfers that Idaho is bringing in, one offensive transfer. The only one that I looked at film for, looked at the highlights for, didn't have time to look at the other three, but this Jakari Larmond guy.
6'3", 330.
Out of Lincoln University in Lincoln, Missouri, played in 8 games as a true freshman, started all 11 games as a sophomore, recorded 29 tackles last season, racking up tackles for loss and QB hurries in each of his first 2 seasons. Will also provide a big presence in the middle of the defensive line with size and strength, is what they said in the press release. I have never seen a 330-pound, 6'3" man get in the backfield as fast as Jakari did. The other defensive players, one more on the defensive line, Tylen Coleman, 3 years of very productive play out of Western New Mexico, 25.5 tackles for loss, 18.5 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, and 4 batted down passes.
Batted four passes.
Yeah, I don't know how words work, including 4 in 2022. So I don't know if that means all 4 of them came in 2022 or if he has 8.
In 2021, he had 12 sacks, it looks like.
Okay.
That is that's a pretty good season for a defensive lineman.
96 total tackles during his career, 41 in 2022 against Abilene Christian, another FCS team. Recorded 5 tackles, 2 sacks, and a quarterback hurry.
I obviously we're a little biased as Vandals ourselves, but I wouldn't want to be playing this Vandal team, especially after the season we had at home.
Yeah,
that Kibbe Dome is going to be packed.
Yeah, I am very, very excited for the University of Montana game. I specifically told the alumni on Twitter that if we don't get homecoming for the Montana game, I was going to be upset. We got Montana for the homecoming game. So Little Brown Stein, homecoming, going to be a incredible weekend in Vandal football.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wish they would have put Parents Weekend this weekend as well.
Yeah,
a lot of parents are probably going to come up for the game anyways. A lot of alumni should be there. If they're not, I'm going to be very, very disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the presence that students had, especially this season, I think the alumni should be able to match that.
And now we play Sac State at home, Montana, MSU at home, you know, some of the best teams in the Big Sky.
Yeah, the only thing is we only have 4 home games this season, losing the, I think we were supposed to play D2 opponent Eastern Oregon for the first game of the season at home. But with the massive mind that is Terry Golic at the helm of the athletic department, went out and was able to switch the contracts around and get Lamar away on the road to play another D1 FCS opponent there at the beginning of the season. FCS opponents count towards playoff spots, whereas D2 opponents wouldn't have counted. So like when Idaho beat Simon Fraser in 2021, 68 to 10.
If they scored any points. Because.
Yeah, so game didn't mean anything. Their team out of Canada. So it was crucial that Idaho, after such a big season, getting that extra FCS game, especially if they win. From what it sounds like, Lamar may not be a great team. But as they say in football, any given Sunday, in this case, any given Saturday. So that was a big, big thing that happened over break, was getting that Lamar game. A lot of Vandals were not happy. A lot of Vandal alum really wanted that extra, that fifth home game. But if we beat Lamar and that can bump us up one spot in the playoff ranking.
Maybe a home playoff game.
Yeah. You know it could be It could end up being even bigger for Idaho.
Yeah, one thing I do want to mention, three of those playoff games, or three of those home games, are also three WSU home games, Sac State, Montana, and the Battle of the Domes. WSU also has home games just across the Palouse.
Yeah, the Big Sky Conference, you can look at Big Sky schedules up to, I think they're completely filled out for at least like 5 years in advance.
Yeah, no, they are years in advance.
The Big 12 releases their schedule in the off season every single year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the Pac-12 was thinking scheduling an Oregon State game against WSU at home. That's going to be huge.
Yeah,
that's going to draw a massive crowd. Arizona and WSU always put on a good show. And who are they playing at the end of the season?
They're playing Colorado.
Okay, well, Colorado was... You know the worst part about that?
Hmm.
Their new coach. Colorado, not a good team.
Primetime?
Primetime. Goes
primetime,
in...
Primetime's going to be at the Palouse.
Yeah, so... Have we ever covered a WSU game here? Because, you know,
what?
Might skip out on Battle of the Domes and go meet primetime. No, I'm kidding. But that is...
It's because also, I'm not one to pick sides in the, you know, Moscow-Pullman rivalry. We're the better city, and it shows on football weekends when everyone from WSU comes over here.
We have a target.
We have a target.
They don't have a target. We have a One World Cafe. They don't have a One World Cafe.
We have the Kibby Dome.
We have we have the Dome. We have a beautiful downtown.
We have Gambino's. We have the Ale House.
A Lodgepole if you're rich.
Yeah.
Humble Burger just moved into a new location. So, you know, with the easy access.
We have Revolver.
Just so many things that
it's
are
great.
Just better.
Moscow's great.
Better than WSU, better than Pullman. So I don't understand the Pac-12's. I need some good reasoning out of them.
Also, we don't have that many home games, and you're going to get 75% of them. You're going to match them up with WSU.
That's just gross.
It's a bit silly and goofy, I think.
Yeah, and I almost think that maybe when the Pac-12 was putting this together, they were taking advice from their refs on how to be absolutely awful at their job. Because it doesn't make sense to have 75% of Idaho's home games the same weekend as a WSU game. Not only does it not make sense from a financial standpoint, I mean, everybody's going to come over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Pullman, you schedule a home game that's an away game for Idaho, you're going to have more draw to Pullman, to Pullman. Whereas when you also have an Idaho game, you're going to have more draw to Moscow because Moscow just has more.
Yeah.
It has, other than hills, it has less hills. So we got that going for us. But the other big thing is there's not hotel space between Moscow and Pullman to house.
Two big games.
Yeah.
And I mean, you were saying that you saw on Twitter that hotels are
already there's already no room anywhere.
So if you're listening to this and want to come to these games and you don't live here, do it now. Like, book it now.
Yeah, make sure that you, if you can find, I mean, I would be refreshing hotel pages every 2 seconds to see if, you know, somebody cancels a room. Otherwise, you're stuck in Lewiston and have to drive up here for those games.
Yeah, 40 minutes?
Yeah, 30, 40 minute drive if the weather is good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of these games are October, November. Yeah, you don't know what that is.
End of November for Battle of the Dome, or beginning sometime in November, Battle of the Domes.
Like middle November.
Yeah, so if you're tuning in, I would highly recommend either finding a hotel now or telling your students that are here that you're sleeping on their dorm room floor for the weekend.
Bring a sleeping bag.
Yeah. I will, you know, if I have floor space, I'll rent it out.
I will not.
I am a poor college student. If you're an alumni and you know who I am, reach out and you got a room for like $20. That is if I'm living on campus and doing fun stuff. I should be, but you never know. Life is weird. So it is going to be crazy few weekends there during football season. But why did I say it like that? I think we've talked enough about football.
Yeah, it's there hasn't been a game in over a month, and we have talked for almost 20 minutes about football.
It's more exciting, in my opinion. Sure, the men's basketball team on a 2-game winning streak.
8-12 right now.
Beating Montana State 74-70, I believe, and then beating Northern Arizona last night.
Two nights ago, if you're, when you're listening to
yeah,
this.
Two nights ago at the time that this is going to go out, 88-83.
Yeah, that was in Flagstaff.
Should have been. It also saw this. Shout out to Trevin with the Lewiston Tribune. The first time Idaho has won in Flagstaff since 2018.
Huh.
So, a very, very big game against Montana State. Northern Arizona isn't good. Looking at the stats here right now.
Let's talk about the Montana. Let's go through the Montana State.
Montana State game. Yeah.
Their stats.
That did happen first. If you want to talk about overall stats.
Yeah, I'll look at some of the team stats. Vandals shot 45.6 from the field. Montana State shot 37.7. So Idaho did shoot better than them. They hit 7 three-pointers out of 23 attempts. Montana State really struggled in that game, 2 for 12.
Yeah, Montana State is – they're a great team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they beat us by, I think, 12 or so to start this season. We went up 12-0 at the beginning of the game, and Idaho never lost the lead.
No, they started the first half. It was 34-29, UIdaho outshot them. And then Montana only got one more point in the second half. It was 41-40. So Idaho just kind of played a consistent game.
Yeah, and I think the big thing that we need to mention, and I was talking to Jaden, one of the other writers for the Argonaut, been on the show a couple times, but Michael Hanshaw's three at the end of the first half put us over in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he misses that, we go into halftime with a two-point lead. We won the game by 4. So, yeah, it was crucial that he hit that three, put us up 5. His first career three. He's been at Idaho playing since 2019. I think that's right. The 2019-2020 season was his first, like, official season. And I asked Dom Ford after Dom and Devontae after the game, you know, Devontae driving the elbow, pitches it out to Michael Hanshaw, and Devontae was like, he's not gonna shoot this, no way he shoots this. Shoots it, bounces off the back of the rim, front of the rim, falls in. And after the game, Dom Ford said, you know, Michael is his shooting partner in practice, and he was wondering all of practice, why is Michael practicing threes? He's a big man. He's not going to get on the perimeter.
He knew what was going to happen.
But, you know, he gets pitched out to Michael, and Dom's like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
But we practiced this. So Michael puts it up, puts Idaho up 5. And
yeah. Devontae Moffitt had 32 points in that game.
Career high.
Yeah.
Northern Arizona was another big game for Idaho. Not really as a team. You know, that was a game that they should have won, but a huge game for Isaac Jones. Isaac Jones came in after scoring maybe 10, 12?
I think he shot like 6 points. It was not a high number.
Yeah, against Montana State, it was 4 or 6 points. Against Eastern Washington, he maybe reached double digits.
You went to that Eastern Washington game.
I did go to the Eastern Washington game, and that is the worst game I've ever witnessed in my life. If Stroud from Eastern Washington for some reason is listening to this, please never poster Michael Hanshaw again. That was the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen in my life.
Quite rude.
Yeah. You know, he's driving in right at the elbow, or not really the elbow, but the bottom of the paint, on the perimeter of the paint, and he just goes up. And this guy, he's not very tall. He was probably maybe 6'2", so like tall, but, you know, mm-hmm. Michael Hanshaw's taller. And he put Michael Hanshaw on a poster. And then a couple plays later, wide open, and laid down another dunk to put them up. I think that put them up 93-74.
And then they ended up winning. I didn't watch 95. That game, but I was getting the notifications from the Vandal Nation on Twitter. And it was an ugly one.
Yeah, we got to I don't know, probably 5 minutes into the second half. And I was actually half tempted to text you, even though I was in Eastern live tweeting and ask you to finish it. Because it was a blowout. Worst game I've ever watched, as I said. Because I didn't watch our game against Northwest Indian, where we won by a bunch. I don't count that game, actually. Should have been an exhibition. But, you know, and so Isaac Jones struggled to score in that game. But then, you know, Montana State also struggled to score, but I think he put up like 7 assists. Mm-hmm. So a big game, you know, helping his team out. The Big Sky Conference has I honestly thought they had Isaac Jones figured out after mm-hmm. that Eastern and Montana State game.
They did not.
At least Northern Arizona didn't.
He put up a 30 piece on them.
Yeah. Once again, Northern Arizona was also sitting at 1-5. Going into their game against Idaho. Idaho was 1-5. Northern Colorado also 1-5. After the Northern Arizona game, Idaho now sits at 2nd in the Big Sky Conference in offense, averaging 76.4 points per game. Eastern Washington is only averaging 75.6 points per game. They're 7-0 in the Big Sky Conference.
Mm-hmm.
On the defensive side of things, Idaho is allowing 71.6 points per game, which lands them at 7th. Montana State, who let Idaho put 74 up on them, averaging 66.5. This is after the most recent game.